Abang Abu Mekanik Wang, pengasas dan CEO Now Asia International akan ke Sapura Mine sedia membantu golongan muda dalam kesawanan dan kecerdasan kewangan. Penceramah terkenal ini akan membincangkan isu berkaitan dengan kewangan dan juga perniagaan. Jika anda ingin pelajari cara-cara untuk membina kekayaan, melabur, mengawal kewangan seperti cara-cara untuk melangsakkan hutang dan lain-lain lagi, ikuti kursus Abang Abu di Sapura Mine sekarang. Sila layari www.sapuraproperty.com hari ini untuk ketahui dengan lebih lanjut program ini sekarang. Abang Abu di Sapura Mines bantu anda berlabur dan mengurus kewangan dengan lebih padu. Iklan ini ditaja oleh Wahid Invest.
Korang tengah layar podcast Aman sebahagian dari jaringan podcast di Aman sini. Apa khabar semua? Aku Mak Pis.
Aku Yem.
Yes, Yem. Kita pun dah masuk menginjak minggu-minggu terakhir bulan Ramadan. Dan kita ada banyak perkara nak sembang. Kita mulakan dengan segmen pertama. Apa berita terbesar minggu ni? Okey, laporan ini sebenarnya melibatkan our neighbor ataupun our jiran. Indonesia's GoTo gives IPO shares to 600,000 drivers in regional first. Basically, GoTo, syarikat GoTo telah memberikan IPO shares kepada 600,000 pemandu mereka, which is I think is the first dalam di rantau ini. Dan this is part of diorang punya 1.1 billion Indonesian initial public offering, which is definitely setting the precedent for Southeast Asia di rantau ini. Dan driver, pemandu yang telah mendaftar dengan ride hailing dan delivery app ni, GoTo ni is similar to Grab for basically. Pemandu yang telah daftar antara tahun 2010 hingga 2016 akan mendapat 4,000 share GoTo, which is equivalent to US$94 based on the IPO price of ₹338. But let's talk the price out of the way. Those who registered from 2017 to February will get 1,000 shares, part of the total pool of more than US$20 million allocated for drivers. And of course, this is according to statement by GoTo. Aku rasa change the game,
benda
right?
Benda ni is a game changer. Yeah. Sebab kau kena tahu tau. Benda ni, kalau kau tengok GoTo punya saham, dia dah naik 15% susulan daripada listing diorang. And GoTo Group, sebuah gabungan Gojek dengan Tokopedia, merupakan unicorn kedua yang disenaraikan di IDX, Indonesian Stock Exchange, locally, selepas Bukalapak. Bukalapak listed in public in August last year, and it took them close to another 1 year to list another unicorn. There's three different things. Aku nak slice benda ni melalui tiga cara. First is, diorang boleh buat unicorn. As an Indonesian startup, they could do unicorn. That's already an amazing
ecosystem.
Scene. Oh yes, yes. Okay. Second is they want to list locally. That to me, by the way, is already amazing. They want to list locally. They don't want to list dekat whatever, New York, NASDAQ, apa ke. They want to list locally. Third is, if Bukalapak is any indication, they're going to lose value over time. That is unfortunate. So, ada tiga benda. Kalau kau tengok Bukalapak, masa dia senarai pada August, 6-7 August tahun lepas, dia sekitar RM1,100 macam tu, RM1,000 macam tu. Sekarang ni, it's about RM300. Honestly, that is a bad trade. And I don't know what happened to it, but for it to have an accretive value, a negative accretive value of ₹1,000 to ₹300 is basically, you know, ₹1,000 is about 30 cents, 30 cents,
very little, right?
And then very little, and then of course now with ₹300 is about 8-9 cents ringgit. That's practically nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't know what happened in terms of value for Bukalapak, why it lost value maybe we should pay closer attention to Indonesian startups. Maybe that would be my mission for this year. But I have not been paying so much attention pun dekat Indonesian punya startup scene. Alright. But the fact that Gojek and Tokopedia melalui gabungan ini diorang buat Goto senarai dekat IDX dan you know initial value naik sebanyak 50%, ni memberikan gambaran yang diorang ni valued at $32 billion or basically over RM100 billion. Can you imagine? No. Like, put that in contrast lah bro. RM100 billion, bro.
Yeah, Goto, yeah. Right? Banyak.
It's amazing. Yeah. And the fact that, you know, folks like Nadiem Makarim lah, apa semua lah, you know, they are now Minister of Education, yes, Culture lah, and Tech lah, apa semua. And then when he created Gojek, you know, prior to Goto being merged, you know, he created Gojek for 10 years, 2010 to 2019. Pardon me, 2019. They buat Gojek, you know, before that, before he became minister.
Yeah.
This Nadiem Makarim guy, it's like Indonesia's own version of I would say Bill Gates. I wouldn't say Steve Jobs, I wouldn't say Elon Musk.
One of the bright minds, lah.
One of the most stable minds, but kind of an asshole, kind of a capitalist. How about that way? All right. Because you have to be, right?
Yeah.
And then you're trained at Harvard University, you're trained at Brown University, you're born in Singapore. Yes, you're Indonesian, but you're born in Singapore. And the fact that, you know, he was able to found Gojek, valued at $10 billion at that time, and now with the trading up 15%, it's valued at over $32 billion. Maknanya dia ni dahsyat lah. Simple, right? And the fact that they can hire him as a minister, even more amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And the ideas he come up with to reform education, it's befitting of a unicorn
a CEO.
CEO lah.
Ex-CEO. Yeah. So this is the thing about Indonesia, right? And they're doing, you know, leaps and bounds and greatness and all this. And then, of course, negara dia besar. That's why kalau kau tengok GDP per capita diorang is a bit low compared to us. GNI pun a bit low. You're looking at life expectancy from Indonesia also low, right? Because life expectancy is a big indicator of where the country is heading. But if Malaysia's life expectancy in 2019 is 76, Indonesia is 71. All right, and to put in contrast, Singapore is 83. So there's a lot of generational improvements that Indonesia needs to do compared to Malaysia and Singapore. Having said that, Malaysia pun is lagging far behind compared to Singapore.
Kita hidup lama je, but berkualiti betul-betul tu is still up.
Quality of life something up, right? Let me tell you something. Aku ni, kita ni jurnalis. Kita jurnalis je. Alright? Aku 2015 ke bila entah. Gaji kecil tahun tu. Kecil sangat kecil. Aku ada jangkut pergi ke Sweden. Ada job lah. Okay, buat laporan apa semua. Okay, semua. Lepas tu send the report to KL apa semua. Okay, habis. Lepas tu aku sebab kakak aku memang duduk dekat Sweden. So aku chill lah dekat rumah kakak aku 2 hari. Reporter dekat Singapore gaji kecil macam aku. Kau tahu apa dia buat? Dia berkemampuan untuk travel ke utara Sweden untuk tengok Northern Lights.
Bercuti
2 hari. Alright, that's how much money Singapore has. They can afford to send reporter yang gaji 2-bit reporter to actually view the ini. But it's
3 times your pay. Dia basically 3 times your pay. The value.
And aku sembang dengan dia. And kita, we are friends until today. The reporter. And even at that point in time, we were comparing notes. We're like, gaji you berapa? Oh, gaji I, aku cakap lah gaji I RM4,000. Oh, my salary is about 2,000 sing.
Which is already more.
Lepas tu, ni aku cakap, kau nak spend berapa ringgit pergi Northern Lights? Oh, I nak spend about 400 to 500 sing.
Yeah.
How much does that get you in Swedish crown? Not much, but enough. I will backpack apa semua, apa semua nak. Aku pun okay, tak apa. Lepas tu aku tengok, okay, so Swedish crown 1-to-1 tau, dia dengan ringgit at that point time lah, 1-to-1. Lebih kurang lah, aku cincai. Tapi
kau dapat $500
aku dapat $500, dia dapat $1,500 crown.
Macam mana?
Already game over for me.
Yeah.
Now, this is not the story. The real story is this. Adalah seorang Indonesian reporter ikut sekali dengan kita. Bro, dia, he was hidup merana dan melarat, bro. 2 hari dekat Sweden.
Yeah, because of the exchange rate, right?
Ah, and he couldn't eat, right?
Yeah.
It was only until after the fact that I found out that he was in trouble that I'm like, holy shit. So both the Singaporean journalist and the, and me kind of helped him out, like buying food and all that. Just, you know.
Yeah.
And the three of us had a very interesting story because he felt bad.
Yeah.
Dia tak dapat makan apa semua. The Singaporean also felt bad.
Yeah, because dia so, dapat enough.
Yeah, she dapat enough and she doesn't want to come across as an asshole.
Yeah.
So it was, and then Malaysia ni is in the middle. Right?
Tak kaya, tak miskin.
So wait, I'm like, what the fuck is this, bro? It's like this is the macroeconomic story in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Malaysia is stuck in a middle income trap. Engkau ngaku ni stuck in a middle income trap. Singapore continue to be rich.
Nah.
Indonesia continue to be poor. That is so bizarre of a story. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
Amazing, bro. So yeah, I mean like that's the I mean, you know, the fact that Goto can give shares to diorang punya rider lah, diorang punya
apa. Do you think it puts pressure on other companies in the region to do that? No.
Yeah, bro, mestilah. Because contohnya macam Grab, now Grab comes across as an asshole.
Yalah, so, aku jahat.
I mean,
you made me look bad.
You made me look bad. You know, I'm like, I was just fine. Now you make me look bad. Like, what's the problem, bro? Kenapa kau spoil market, bro? Jantulah. Yeah, sorry kat situ.
It'll be interesting to see where does it lead to for Goto. Kita berehat sebentar. Lepas ni kita akan ke segmen seterusnya. Apa lagi berita terbesar minggu ni?
Di Sapura Mines, majlis perkahwinan impian anda boleh menjadi nyata. Dewan Agam di Sapura Mines mampu memuatkan sehingga 2,000 jemputan. Besar atau kecil majlis idaman anda, Sapura Mines mampu merealisasikannya. Kawasan parkir yang disediakan amat luas bagi menempatkan kesemua hadirin pada hari istimewa anda. Anda juga boleh memilih caterer pilihan bagi menepati cita rasa terkini. Untuk maklumat lanjut, sila layari sapuraproperty.com.my. Sapura, P-R-O-P-E-R-T-Y.com.my.
Okay, kembali ke podcast Amal bersama aku, Bab Peace dan juga Yem. Ini adalah segmen kedua, apa lagi berita terbesar minggu ini. So, kita geraklah sikit daripada daripada tech sebagainya, Goto dan sebagainya. Kita cakap tentang lokal ataupun secara spesifiknya pemilihan Parti Keadilan ataupun Parti Keadilan Rakyat, PKR, also known as Keadilan. 17 nominations telah masuk for VP, Vice President, Naib President. Anwar Ibrahim, the current President seperti biasa, I think no surprises there, telah umumkan beliau akan terus mengekalkan, and no candidate. Sebenarnya aku tempted tau nak masuk dalam Adil app tu and just bertanding dengan dia just to kacau. But yeah, I'm not going to do that.
It's funny that you mentioned this sebab aku pun nak buat pengumuman melalui podcast ni. Aku bukan berhasrat. Aku akan bertanding Presiden PKR sebab aku rasa aku calon terbaik untuk push forward agenda of PKR.
Tak, sebab dia of course, okay. I mean, PKR needs a renewal of leadership, I think last year. But you know, I mean, there's so many to talk about this. Tapi aku rasa pasal app tu, kau actually boleh bertanding kalau kau ahli. And I think you need to meet the 1 year threshold, and then you can bertanding through the app. I think that's amazing lah for PKR. I think I find it amazing.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're talking about app, amazing app tu, okay lah. I gotta give it to you lah. I can't agree lah. But
mana ada parti lain yang buat macam ni?
Yeah, but that is from the tech perspective.
Ya, yalah.
But from the policy perspective,
itu.
Apa yang keadilan nak buat dalam jangka masa terdekat dan jangka masa panjang, andai kata dan sekiranya dia menang.
Nah.
Andai kata dan sekiranya dia menang, apa dia nak buat?
The jury is still out there lah. The jury is still out there. Aku pun I think that's the answer that I think only the PKR and leadership can say. I mean they follow.
No, exactly. But have they been saying it? Honestly, I don't know. You tell me. Aku tak nampak.
I mean, they laukalah reformasi tu. But I...
Lah, apa dia yang dia nak reform?
Itulah.
Adakah kita nak menjadi negara sosialis ke? Adakah kita nak memperbaharui pendidikan ke? Adakah corak dan cara pemerintahan kita, approach kita untuk menteri luar, you know, our foreign policy strategy is going to be different ke? That is the one that we're looking for.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, of course, they can say things like, all that will come the moment the new leadership is voted in lah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay lah, so we wait lah. Sebab we've been waiting for the past 5 years, nothing yet. Okay, maybe this new batch of this one come, maybe lah, kita dapat benda yang dapat lebih baik lah.
Tapi,
but for now, nothing.
Tapi,
they got an app, so I guess that's good.
that's good. Tapi aku rasa with Anwar at the helm, and I think against Datuk Seri Anwar, it's still an Anwar presidency lah. So when you talk about that, it's the same old president with some new president's man. You know, recorded with you know, AMK ada Adam Adli versus Fahmi Zainul, both well known or well documented to be within the Anwar camp. And all the other, I think 17 VPs, I think one of the highest aku rasa in recent memory. In terms of pemilihan keadilan 17, but of course the big names are the menteri besar lah, basically Datuk Amiruddin Harun and also Amiruddin Syari. Those are the big names. We will definitely continue. Just to share with you guys, if you are into politics, the online voting, pengundian secara online akan dilakukan May 18 to 20 lepas raya. Tetapi pada at the same time also they will be doing you know, in-person voting lah. Which is held from May 13 to 17. So basically telah dimaklumkan juga bahawa siapa yang telah menang all the position akan diumumkan pada Jun 26, much later, about a month plus later, ketika annual Congress PKR. Sementara itu untuk wanita, AMK, Akatan Muda Keadilan, semuanya keputusan akan diumumkan pada Jun 24, which is also their respective congress. So it's going to be an interesting month for PKR, I shall say. Aku memang minat politik, so I'll be looking at this very keenly lah. So for now, that's all yang kita boleh kongsikan tentang pemilihan PKR. Banyak perkara yang akan berlaku.
Ya, tapi ada juga debat kan yang akan berlaku ataupun mungkin akan berlaku di antara calon-calon presiden, calon-calon naik presiden dan sebagainya. Aku nak tengok benda tu sebenarnya, sebab the debate is going to show the policy that is going to be generated by PKR. However, yalah, PKR detractors is very simple. Dia punya thinking is, inilah dia, bila kau buat sebuah parti berdasarkan seseorang individu atau personality. And PKR can never run away from that accusation. But having said that, isn't that... You can create a political party for whatever reason, right? UMNO banded together because they wanted to protect the rights of the Malays.
Yeah.
Sama dengan MCA, MIC dan sebagainya. PAS also had an ideology. It's not just about the Malays, it's about Islam juga. Mm. So whatever the reason you got together and created or formed the party is because of that notion, right? So if Anwar was there and he and you know people created the party because of the ideology that Anwar is espousing, iaitu reformasi, keadilan, kesatuan, hak sama rata dan sebagainya di antara kaum, I don't think that's a problem. It becomes a problem when there is no clear direction coming in from that particular party. Look at MIC and MCA. Apa dia punya clear direction? And nothing. All right. UMNO, unfortunately, has a clear direction. Yeah. I just happen to disagree completely with that direction.
Faham.
But a direction they have.
Yeah. And tapi aku rasa this I mean, as far as PKR is concerned or keadilan is concerned, well, I was telling, aku tengah sembang dengan kawan aku pun, pada 1999 aku berumur 9 tahun dan aku bersekolah di sekolah rendah, and we are talk, they were talking lah, family aku were talking about Anwar Ibrahim, president PKR ataupun at that time I think Parti Keadilan Nasional, right?
Yeah.
So he's the opposition leader masa aku 9 tahun. Hari ni aku berusia 32 tahun. Dia masih opposition leader. So I think in that sense, in that statement, it encapsulate what is wrong lah, or what needs to change. Aku tak ada pun anti Anwar Ibrahim. Aku boring dengan Anwar Ibrahim. That's the more prevalent notion. Dato' Sri Anwar is a very great orator. I'm sure he has great ideas. He got good things to do. But I'm just bored of the things that he espouse. Because benda yang dia cakap and you know, translating it to the bawah tu, benda tu yang tak sampai. Dan itulah aku harap PKR dapat address lah in this particular election.
They can't. They won't address. Kalau if they wanted to address, somebody of credible pedigree would have contested the presidency.
Yalah.
Nobody. Nobody's
clear lah kan. That's clear in that sense, right? Paling best aku rasa deputy lah kan, Rafizi versus Saifuddin lah.
Actually that is ni, but itu pun ada masalah juga because both of them come from similar mold. To be frank, they are more of the same school of thought than say it's more of two guys on the same side contesting the same spot.
You
get me?
Faham?
Yeah, they ada lain-lain sikit.
Yalah, differences of approach. Principle sama, you know, in terms of idea.
Yeah, perfect. You said it best. Yeah, but that's the story. What's new with Keadilan? I don't think anything is.
Yeah, but it will be interesting lah if Rafizi wins deputy presidency. We are going to tengok politics because you know politics. Politicians gets masuk into parliament. They do the laws affect the tax. So we are going to talk about politics in the few as and when there is a need to discuss. Kita berehat sebentar, lepas ni kita akan ke segmen seterusnya, Teman Amans.
Amans Media adalah peneraju kandungan dunia IT dalam bahasa Malaysia. Kami memberi tumpuan terhadap perkembangan dunia IT di dalam dan di luar negara. Kami menghasilkan tutorial dan menggunakan bahasa Malaysia sepenuhnya. Layari amanz.my, amanz.my hari ini.
Okay, kembali ke podcast Amanz bersama aku, Mak Pis dan juga Yem. Ini adalah segmen ketiga, segmen Teman Amanz. Seperti biasa dalam segmen ni, aku dan Yem akan cuba memberi respon kepada persoalan-persoalan ataupun pertanyaan yang dihantarkan oleh pendengar-pendengar di luar sana. Anda boleh hantarkannya ke ask@amanz.my. Aku ulang sekali lagi, ask@amanz.my. Dan kita dengarkan pula pertanyaan untuk sesi podcast Amanz sekali ini.
Hai, saya Dania dari Ampang. Memandangkan kes COVID pada bulan April telah turun pada paras yang rendah sama seperti pada awal tahun ini, namun isu long COVID masih membelenggu orang ramai. Adakah kita mengambil ringan isu long COVID ini? Apa pandangan Mak Pis dan Yim?
Okey, aku sebenarnya tak sangka sebenarnya that long COVID ni basically boleh fuel labor shortages. Tapi aku rasa there's a very interesting question. Terima kasih. Tapi aku rasa apa yang menarik tentang long COVID ni sebenarnya, Yim, and I don't know if you remember, aku sebenarnya ada cakap in previous episode bahawa, you know, as part of orang takut ni kan, aku sebenarnya realise that aku menggunakan long COVID bukanlah untuk menakutkan orang, untuk tell people that while you shouldn't be, if they are not afraid of COVID, and these are the anti-vaxxers group, right? So my argument to them is that you should at least be afraid of long COVID if you're not afraid of COVID. Sebab long COVID ni is like, I wouldn't say it's undiagnosed. People don't really know. Some people ada 2 minggu je long COVID, some people ada 2 bulan. Sometimes ada orang yang aku tahu for a fact 6 months, 8 months down the road, dia still not back to their normal self. And these are boosted people who take vaccination. Aku sebenarnya tak ada dalam within my circle people yang tak ambil vaccination. So I can't get their thoughts lah kan, on this particular within my close circle. Tapi ada dalam kalangan circle aku yang tak nak, tak booster. And it shows.
how big of a population in your circle? Kalau 100%, how many roughly lah? Of course, roughly.
Roughly, I would say within my circle maybe 35-40.
So, satu per tiga lah, senang kata. Satu per tiga. Okay, okay. Apa dia yang kau nak cakap tadi? Minta maaf.
Tak apa. Tak. Basically, if you're not afraid of, you should be afraid of long COVID lah. And I think,
No, when you say that they're not boosted, it shows what?
Oh, it shows that they got COVID. They asymptomatic, tapi pernah kan dulu kalau boleh kerja like 12 hours, 15 hours, no problem. Sekarang macam, ui tak boleh lah. Kena slow down. Have to take a nap. Have to like macam, eh, I cannot do this lah. Aku penat sangat ni, you know. So, it's real. And it affects you sebab dia bukan demam tau. Kalau demam kau sakit, you can get better. And you can be that 100% back. It's just a matter of time. 1 week, 2 weeks, you'll be. But long COVID ni, sometimes 3 months pun, weh, how? Kau tak demam. Kau tak sakit. Tapi you're not your 100% self tau. And I think this is the thing yang aku rasa macam, aku tak akan katalah kerajaan gagal communicate. But it's more to like, kerajaan gagal illustrate. And I give you a very close example lah. Pakcik aku recently got COVID positive. First in my family, in my family lah, my family, I would say about 15 people maybe. First in my family to get COVID, and he was telling my mom, he said, "Oh, long COVID ni tak boleh main-main lah." And he's double vaccinated and boosted, you know. So he was telling my mom sama juga, double vaccinated, boosted. Tapi dia macam, "Ush, tak boleh main-main ni." Memang he felt it, rasa macam nak pergi kerja. Pun macam penat, you tak sakit but you can't function at 100%. And that's when I tell my mom to tell her friends that this shit is real, because a lot of her friends have been feeding my mom. Nasib baik mama aku dengar cakap aku lah that, oh tak payah booster lah, you know, dua dose dah cukup lah, you know, kena pun macam ala demam. I said, if you feel that vaccination takes 2-3% out of you, konon sakit belakang lah apa, long COVID is going to take 15% of you. And I think that scares her a bit, you know. And she was like, wow, betul lah kot, you know. So it's about which is worse, the vaccination impact or the long COVID impact. I would say long COVID impact is far worse, which is why I'm taking the vaccination. Aku tak tahu lah if this argument is compelling enough for people to hear lah, but at least that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And I think that it's... you know, we're talking about adults, right? Do your story. My story is on children sebab, you know, peak kids masih rendah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but...
aku susah nak cakap lah sebab anak aku pergi sekolah. Jadi yeah, kawan-kawan dia, you know, less than half is vaccinated or fully vaccinated. At the end of the day, it's still going to impact my children.
Betul
walaupun
lah.
Diorang dapat dua dose.
Because variants,
right? So, bila semua budak sakit, diorang pun akan ikut sakit lah sebab satu kelas... you know, less than half is vaccinated.
I don't know if you're able to share this. I don't know. Aku I'm just wondering lah. Ada tak budak-budak ataupun teenagers yang macam aku nak vaksin tapi my parents is like preventing me. I'm just wondering lah.
No, but maybe just budak-budak the 5 to 11 years old. But budak-budak they have no power kan. They can see whatever they want.
Ikut je lah.
Dia nak happy meal, dia nak toys, dia nak poteng sekolah. Tapi kita overrule, kita sebagai adult, kita ada tanggungjawab dan kita overrule. Tapi macam anak-anak aku, diorang memang minta dan aku memang nak. So, there's an alignment
there
lah kan. Tapi macam, entah, I don't know man, it's just awful. And having said that, konteks sekolah kau tu sebenarnya kena change sikit. Sebab remaja is 92% vaccinated, fully vaccinated. Remaja is 92%.
Which is high
lah. Kenapa? Kids, very high. Apa lagi? What number do you want? 100%? That's impossible. But 92% is perfect. Right? Sorry, I take that back. May not be perfect, but it's a target
it's
achieved.
Better than good. It's better than good.
It's better than good. Yeah. So, where did we fail when it comes to pick kids? Itu je lah. I don't think it's the government's failure. I think it's these people's failure lah. Yeah. Hey, booster shot also quite high, bro. Kalau kau tengok,
60% over, right?
Yeah, I mean, okay lah. I mean, I want 93%. I want 95%.
Mm. But, yeah, but we can't get everything we want.
We can't get everything we want, right? So, if adult population of booster shot is 67% or 68% right now, which it is, it's fine lah. But for adolescent, 2 doses, 92% is fantastic lah.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, terima kasih atas soalan. Memang long COVID ni memberi satu, I would say it's a definitely invisible impact to manpower ataupun tenaga kerja as a whole. And I think like long COVID ni is something that I think maybe 2-3 years from now that we can properly understand. Probably they're going to be categories of which long COVID or how bad of a long COVID are you having. So I think now the best way or the best way how we frame this is to protect ourselves, protect our kids, protect our family. Yang tu je lah yang boleh kita buat. Kalau orang Islam kata kita tawakal je lah sebab kita tak tahu kan. Kita hanya boleh tawakal. Kita ikhtiar, cari usaha kita, find ways to prevent it. But I think everything else is just tawakal lah. So on that note, kita berehat sebentar. Terima kasih atas soalan tersebut. Kita ke segmen seterusnya, segmen Ramalan atau Nuzul.
Kopi. Nadi penggerak dunia moden hari ini. Kopi yang enak dan berkualiti menjadi pasangan sesuai bagi mana-mana majlis sosial maupun formal. Blue Dome Coffee menyajikan kopi Ramon khas dari biji kopi yang premium disediakan dengan rapi oleh barista-barista handalan bagi memastikan setiap hirupan istimewa tanpa bandingan. Kunjungi Instagram ataupun Facebook @BlueDomeCoffee untuk maklumat lanjut. Cari kami di @BlueDomeCoffee hari ini.
Okay, ini adalah podcast Amaz bersama aku, Mak Peace dan juga Yim. Ini adalah segmen keempat, segmen Ramalan atau Nuzul. Okay, dalam segmen ni aku dan Yim akan bincangkan tentang ramalan. Dan untuk sesi kali ni, mungkin aku boleh, aku sebenarnya dia lebih kepada ramalan plus nak tanya. Sebab aku dapat ataupun nampak di laporan by Financial Times yang telah menyatakan bahawa Epic Games secures $2 billion from Sony and Lego to build gaming metaverse. Dan aku dengar ni, metaverse ni ataupun meta-mesta seperti term yang digunakan is everywhere. And aku can understand but I can't grasp the full concept. And I wouldn't say worry. My concern ataupun my interest in this is adakah meta-mesta ni boleh menjadi profitable? Is it sustainably, can you maintain a profit out of this? Is this the next big thing? What do you think, Yip?
I don't know, man. Aku tengok Facebook punya trajectory pun is kind of fucked up.
Facebook lah first yang air this concept out, right? And suddenly everyone.
What brings profitability? Let's do a thought process here. What brings profitability? Profitability means the recurring revenue element is there. It is not just about the sale of a particular product. It is the recurring revenue that you get from the sale of the of the product itself. I'm thinking of, say, for instance, Tesla cars or iPhones. Apple, right? They sell the product itself. They sell the hardware. Then the recurring revenue comes after that, right? So you go to superchargers, you get of Tesla, then you get recurring revenue from there. You buy the iPhone, you buy the MacBook, then the recurring revenue is from the App Store or the services like Apple One service. Ataupun, you know, if you buy, that's bundle lah kalau kau beli Apple TV ke, Apple Fitness Plus ke dan sebagainya. Those are recurring revenues. Not to mention the world's biggest marketplace, which is the Apple App Store. For, you know, companies like Facebook, they used to make recurring revenue through ads, Google through ads. But at the same time, today, people are advertising lesser and lesser in terms of what they can get out of Facebook and Google. So the recurring revenue element is there. So kalau kau tanya aku the recurring revenue for metaverse apa dia, aku tak nampak lagi. Mungkin kalau ada pendengar nak kind of correct our view or perception, please by all means. I want to hear. But there is no recurring revenue as far as I'm concerned from where I sit right now when it comes to metaverse. So I think that I don't think it's going to be profitable only because there is no window of opportunity for recurring revenue to be hit from apa nama metaverse. Itu je lah. Hmm. Dan disebabkan itu aku rasa dia tak akan jadi profitable.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say sad to say, but you know, there's a lot of money involved, right? Into developing all kinds of metaverse. You'll be interested to see apa sebenarnya akan jadi atau apakah nasib Metavesta ni. Itu sahaja segmen ramalan. Kita ke segmen terakhir, segmen baik buruk.
Amans Media adalah peneraju kandungan dunia IT dalam bahasa Malaysia. Kami memberi tumpuan terhadap perkembangan dunia IT di dalam dan di luar negara. Kami menghasilkan tutorial dan menggunakan bahasa Malaysia sepenuhnya. Layari amans.my, amanz.my hari ini.
Okey, kembali ke podcast Amans. Ini adalah segmen terakhir, segmen baik buruk. Seperti biasa, aku dan Yem akan bincang tentang apa yang kita nampak baik dan buruk, dan mungkin Yem boleh kongsikan apa yang Yem nampak baik dan buruk untuk sesi kali ini.
Okay, this is not recent. Hmm. This is a bit, this happens a bit back, apa, kebelakangan ini. Baik aku adalah Ukraine, sebab
okay.
You know, Ukraine's economy is halved, according to some statistics by, or some projections by the World Bank. Hmm. Dan World Bank juga menganggarkan bahawa production gandum, di mana Ukraine merupakan antara pengeksport terbesar di dunia, akan susut sebanyak 90%. So, dunia akan mengalami susutan karbohidrat yang sangat ketara, yang akan menyebabkan ramai pengguna gandum, contohnya macam dekat Malaysia ni gardenia, akan mengalami satu kesusutan, penyusutan yang sangat ketara. But at the same time, there is still a Ukraine. Hmm. Even though Ukraine's economy is halved, even though the wheat production is 90% down, Ukraine is still there. And this is something quite dramatic, yeah, because they are standing up against Russia.
Even though the onslaught, nuclear power. Even though the onslaught has been ongoing.
Yeah, I think that is something that we need to think about lah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Buruk dia adalah production makanan. Sebab aku temu ramah ANW baru-baru ni.
No, oh, okay.
Dia bilang production of protein is actually quite low, particularly chicken, poultry. So kalau ada pendengar ni nak masuk business ayam, now
there's,
is good time.
There's a demand.
Huge demand. Extremely huge demand for chicken. KFC is going to face a problem. Is facing a problem.
I mean, McDonald's is facing a potato shortage, right? All over the world.
All over the world, right? So there is this. Buruk dia adalah tentang siapa yang buat makanan macam gandum, kentang, all this, big shortage in carbohydrates. In protein, big shortage in chicken. Mm. And of course, beef is also a big problem because, you know, everybody's saying that, bukan everybody, science is showing that cattle herding is not sustainable and it's not green. Mm. So, you know, biotech and food tech is going to be a big solution that is needed. So yeah, something like that. We need to think about food security as a big solution that needs to be solved.
Yeah. I definitely agree with you on the baik. The buruk pun, yeah, is betul. Tapi aku just nak add one more apa yang buruk bagi aku. Ialah kerajaan choosing to menangguh keperluan perakuan sirim pada face mask ke 1 Januari 2023. Aku tak faham why there is a need for okay lah, aku faham there is a need for sirim chop.
Duit bro, duit.
Yalah.
Ya, bila kau dapat chop tu kau dapat duit lah.
Ya, tapi tenang lah. Tapi ni yang nasib-nasib yang kita, yang aku dah stock, aku taklah stockpile, tapi I have like 2-3 boxes of mask ni, macam mana what to do. And I think I've been a law abiding citizen lah, and aku tak faham like why. So itulah buruk-buruk aku untuk sesi kali ni. And on that note, kita akhiri sesi podcast Amaz. Terima kasih kerana sudi mendengar. Apa-apa pandangan dan maklumat, sila hantarkan ke ask@amaz.my. Aku dan Yem sentiasa mengalung-alungkan maklumat ini. Kita bertemu lagi di sesi akan datang.
Abang Abu Mekanik Wang, Pengasas dan CEO Now Asia International akan ke Sapura Mind, sedia membantu golongan muda dalam kesawanan dan kecerdasan kewangan. Penceramah terkenal ini akan membincangkan isu berkaitan dengan kewangan dan juga perniagaan. Jika anda ingin pelajari cara-cara untuk membina kekayaan, melabur, mengawal kewangan seperti cara-cara untuk melangsakkan hutang dan lain-lain lagi, ikuti kursus Abang Abu di Sapura Mind sekarang. Sila layari www.sapuraproperty.com hari ini untuk ketahui dengan lebih lanjut program ini sekarang. Abang Abu di Sapura Minds bantu anda berlabur dan mengurus kewangan dengan lebih padu. Iklan ini ditaja oleh Wahid Invest.